And, all right, Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter number 16 tonight. I'm looking forward to hearing Brother McBride preach tonight. He'll be coming up in just a few minutes. And I'm not much of a Jubilee preacher, but I'm glad that I am a preacher. Amen. And so I'm going to preach what God put on my heart. And I was trying to work on something else, and the Lord said, nope, that's not what I want. This is what I want. So we're going to mind God. Amen. So here we go. Matthew 16 tonight. Very, very important scripture we find in the Bible. Here's what the Bible says. Listen to me now. The Bible says in Matthew 16, verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me. Now Jesus is talking here. He said, let him deny himself. Well, that's tough for some to do. And take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And then he said, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Verse number 28. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then the Bible said, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. Lord, I pray now for the help of the Holy Ghost of God in preaching. I ain't ashamed of you. Lord, I confess that I need your help. God, there's people here, no doubt. There could be several. Don't know for sure if they died, they'd go to heaven. Father in heaven, I pray for Holy Ghost conviction. God, I thank you, Lord, for the Bible. I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you that you died on that cross for my sins, shed your blood, rose from the dead, sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat, and God the Father accepted that as a sacrifice for my sins. Thank you, Lord. Father in heaven, I'm asking for your help tonight in preaching. And I pray for the understanding to be upon the hearts of people. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach for a little while, and I won't be long. What is your soul worth? The Bible said, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, there's people out there that won't get saved because they're exchanging that salvation for something else, whether it be fame, popularity, fun, a good time, money, I don't know. But God's saying, what if you profit the whole world? In other words, if you have all the money that you ever wanted, if you had the money that you could just do anything, buy anything, go anywhere with no restrictions, and God said you had it all, what good is that? And then die and go to hell. Your soul is immortal. A person's soul, it will either live in heaven or it will exist in hell. That's Bible. Now, the Bible teaches us in Genesis 35 that there's a girl there by the name of Rachel whose soul was departing from her. In other words, when that body of flesh is dying, her soul was leaving her body. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah is praying for the young boy's soul to enter back into him. Because when your body dies, listen, your soul departs. It's going somewhere. And there's only two places it can go. God is the only one that has charge over your soul. The Bible said in Job 27:8, said, what is the hope? Listen, what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul. In other words, God's saying, hey, what good is if you've gained recognition, you've gained popularity, you've gained people's trust, you've gained respect, you've gained prestige amongst the community, everybody thinks well of you. God's saying, what good, what hope does the hypocrite have? I mean, you've gained all these things, but yet people thought you was okay, people thought you were saved, people thought you were on your way to heaven. And God's saying, what good is it to be a hypocrite when God taketh away your soul? It did you no good. The Bible said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, you either give your soul to Christ or God will take that soul and cast it into hell. Now, that's the Bible. And I want to ask you, why would anybody take a chance on a hope-so salvation? You know, it's amazing. Preacher, you go knock on doors, you talk to somebody at a gas station, or you talk to somebody at a grocery store, or maybe your neighbor, and you ask them, say, hey, let me ask you a question. If you died today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? And they'll say, well, I hope so. Now, I don't mean this to be degrading to you, but what do you mean you hope so? Is it a balance? You weighing out your good works? You trying to get there? I know I'm going to heaven. The Bible said, I write these things unto you that ye may know, friend. And I know without a shadow of a doubt if I died today that I'd go to heaven. I love that song. I know my name is there. We sang it tonight. Amen. But some are trusting in their religion or their belief. They think their religion's going to get them there. They think maybe their prayer's going to get them there. They think their good works are going to get them there, or their church is going to get them there. Some are exchanging their soul for a life of pleasure. In other words, I don't have time to get saved right now, preacher. I want to have a good time. Some are exchanging their soul for sin. Some are exchanging their soul for money. Some are exchanging their soul for prestige and popularity and people and positions and fame and fortune. And I say to you, dear friend, let me say, there's no doubt that everybody here tonight values their life. I don't believe there's anybody here tonight that would say, man, I hope that I go to the doctor tomorrow and they tell me I got a disease and I'm going to die. I don't think there's anybody here tonight that would say, I hope I get in my car tonight, get out here on Avalon Boulevard, and a big old semi crosses the lane and comes over and hits me head on and kills me. I don't think there's nobody like that. Nobody wants to go inside a restaurant today and have somebody come in there with a gun and start killing everybody and you be one of them. So I ask you the question, if you value your life today, why won't you value your soul for eternity? Nobody here tonight wants to die tonight. I don't believe there's anybody here that says, man, I want to go to hell. Every one of us are creatures ordained to an eternal existence. And that's either, listen, misery and doom in a place called hell, or happiness, peace, joy, love in a place called heaven. But if you plainly deny the Lord Jesus Christ and do not get saved, Bible said over there, Matthew 10:33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him, this is what Jesus said, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So picture the scene, if you would. I believe that's at the great white throne judgment. You say, what's that? That's when all those that are lost that never got saved stand before God and their name's not in the book. God binds them hand and foot and casts them into outer darkness, which is the lake of fire. And I say to you, friend, you don't want to go there. And so I picture it this way, preacher. I don't know who it might be. Let's say a woman comes up or a man comes up. It's their turn to stand before God, fall on their face before God and acknowledge Him as God. And they say this. And God says, is His name in the book? And they say, no, His name's not in the book. And then and God says, do you know this person? Do you know who she is? And Jesus says, I don't know who she is. I don't know who he is. I don't know that man or that woman. I don't know who they are. And then you chime in. Oh yeah, Father. Oh yeah, Lord Jesus. Surely you know who I am. I mean, I did this and I did that. I went to this church and I did all the things that I was supposed to do and I did everything I was told to do. Surely you know who I am. I did all these things. And he looks at the Father and says, I don't know him. You ever had the feeling of, it'd be a bad feeling, of being in the presence of somebody great, acting like you know them, and then them say, I don't know who you are, get out of here. Well, it's about a million times worse to stand before Jesus. And him say, I don't know you. I want you to look at Matthew 7. Hold your place in Matthew 16. Look at Matthew 7. Just want you to think about eternity. Think about your soul. We'll hear some real good preaching here in a minute. Matthew 7, look at verse number 19. Just listen to what the Bible says. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Watch what 21 says. Sober in Scripture. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. I want to stop. I'm going to read two more verses. Let me say this. The will of the Father is this, that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That you accept His Son as the sacrifice for your sins. That's the will of the Father. Look at verse 22. Many, He said, will say to me in that day. What day? Great White Throne Judgment Day. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Here's what Jesus said. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In other words, friend, can I say to you, there's coming a day when there's going to be a bunch of people, many, the Bible said, that are going to stand before the Lord, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? We preached, Lord, we gave this, and we gave money to the church, and we prayed prayers, and we did all these wonderful works. We cast out devils, and Lord, we did all these wonderful things, and they called him Lord. And he said this, I never knew you. Now, Matthew 16:25, you can go back there. The Bible said this, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And the Bible said, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So in other words, many think that they can save their own life. The world is full of religions and full of people, and even people in the Baptist church, friend, and in other churches, that they believe that they save their own life. They think their religion is going to get them to heaven. They think their belief is going to get them to heaven. They think their church is going to get them to heaven. They think their works is going to get them there. Their baptism is going to get them there. Their infant baptism is going to get them there. They think their sacraments are going to get them there. They think the speaking in tongues is going to get them there. They think all these things about giving money is going to get them there. They got all these works of how they're going to save their life. Christ said, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. I'll give you an example. I was raised in church. My grandfather's sitting right down here. Him and my grandmother made sure I was raised in church. My mom and dad put me in church. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. I was raised at Fundamental Baptist Church over there on Kelly Avenue and right over there off Massachusetts Avenue and Kelly Avenue. Now, I was there from an infant all the way up to 19 when I left. Went to college, surrendered to preach, left, went to college. I was in church Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If my mom and dad couldn't go, my grandfather and my grandmother would pull over, come over there and pick us boys up, my little sister, and put us in the car and take us to church. We was in church all the time. I heard preaching Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Lost. Didn't get saved till I was 19. Heard preaching from the revival meetings. Heard all kinds of different things. Here's what happened. About the age of 5, I think, preacher, maybe 5 or 6, I'm not sure, something like that. I remember my brother going forward in the service. And I looked at my mother. I said, where's Bubba going? She said, well, he's going to get saved. I said, I want to go get saved too. She said, okay. So I went forward and somebody took a Bible and showed me how to get saved. I don't remember anything about it. That's all I remember. I just remember being down there with somebody. Don't remember nothing about it. And I remember I went and got baptized because my brother got baptized. So the rest of my younger years and into my teen years, that's what I based my salvation on. There was no conviction in my heart when it took place. There was no wooing and calling of the Holy Ghost. I just went because my brother was going. Amen. And so anyways, I based my salvation upon that. I lived my life the way I wanted to live. I didn't care much about the things of God. I went to church because I knew it was the right thing to do. And I went to church because I knew it pleased my parents and my grandparents. And I knew I was supposed to go. But I didn't do too much around the house of God. I didn't care too much about the things of God. And then about the age of 19, after I graduated from college, I helped my uncle move, Terry Kendrick. I helped him move from Alabama way up to Michigan and to help him move up to a church. And I was going to stay with him for a month or so and just kind of be with the family and hang out with him. And so anyways, I got up there, and after I was there for about 2 weeks, my uncle, he's a preaching away, praise God, amen, like he does. He don't hold back. He's a preaching away. And he was preaching about his testimony and about where he was from and about how he got saved and about his family and his dad and his mom and all my aunts and uncles and everything. And the Holy Ghost of God used that, and I sat there and I was listening intently. And he got about halfway through that message, and the Holy Ghost of God said, you're lost. I said, Now, it wasn't no audible voice, amen, out loud where everybody can hear it, but it was in my heart. It was that conviction that we're talking about, which is that feeling on the inside of you when you know something's dealing with your heart. And the Spirit of God was dealing with my heart and said, you're lost. And I thought, well, Lord, how can I be lost? I went forward when I was little with my brother, and I went forward and I got baptized. And I went through the whole situation like I always had done. And he said, you went forward because he went forward. You didn't go because I was dealing with you. And then the next thing you know, he started pointing out all kinds of things that was in my life that nobody knew about but him. God began to convict me and deal with me about my sin as I sat about the second row from the back in that church, friend. And he said, what'd you do? I'll tell you what I did. When the service was over during the invitation, I didn't fight God. I got up out of my seat, walked down forward. My uncle opened that Bible up. He showed me how to know for sure I was saved and on my way to heaven. And right there that day, I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. You say, what'd you do? I'll tell you what I did. I gave up what I was trusting in, and I trusted in Him. Amen. You got to understand something. God has given you the power to make the choice. If you choose to put your trust in Jesus Christ and Him only, not in a work, not in a prayer, not in some baptism, not in some Jesus Christ only, comes great eternal life and happiness. But if you choose to put your trust in yourself and in this world, the loss of your soul is irrecoverable. Once the soul is lost in that place called hell, be it known unto you, there is no redemption in hell. When people die and go to hell, understand, according to that Bible right there, they never get out. The only time an individual will ever leave hell is to be judged by God, only to be bound, cast into a place called the lake of fire. Can I say to you, dear friend, the Bible says in Psalm 49, 7 and 8, it said, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. Listen to what the Bible said. Nor give to God a ransom for him. That's what the Bible said. I didn't say it. God said it. He said, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. Now pay attention to the words. Nor give to God a ransom for him. You know, there's people out there that believe that they can baptize people out of hell. They can pay them out of hell. Listen, nobody can pay anybody out of hell. There's preachers that won't tell you that. There's priests that won't tell you that. There's churches that won't tell you that. There's friends that won't tell you that. But God told you that. That's what God said. That's not what Jason said. That's what God said in His Bible. And I say to you, friend, redemption is only found in Jesus Christ alone. Redeemed means this. It means ransomed. Delivered from bondage, distress, penalty, or liability. In other words, can I say to you, He ransomed me. I was bound in sin. He loosed me. I was in distress because of sin. He loosed me. There was a penalty for my sin, and that penalty is a lake of fire, going to hell. But friend, can I say to you, He paid my penalty. He shed His blood on Calvary. He took my hell 3 days and three nights. He arose from the dead and took that blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. God the Father accepted that blood sacrifice for my sins and the whole entire world's sins. The Bible said, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity? Let me ask you a question. What is your soul worth? Is it worth saying no to sin? Is it worth saying no to a friend or a family member? Is it worth saying no to what you've believed? Is it worth saying no to pride? What is your soul worth? Well, Jacob, if your wife could come play, I appreciate it. I'm done, but I want to read a few verses and I'm done. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible said, for all have sinned. You say, I know that, preacher. I know you know that, but there may be somebody that don't know, so pray. He said, for all have sinned, that's everybody, and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That wage is a payment. In other words, God said, your payment for sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But like the second part of that verse, it said, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. So in other words, God said this. He said, you're a sinner, and because you're a sinner, you're going to die, and you're going to go to hell. But I'll tell you what. I'll give you a gift. That gift is Jesus. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He what? Gave His only begotten Son. He said, I'll give you a gift. If you'll receive that gift, and His name is Jesus, for your sacrifice for sin, I'll save you. He said over there in Romans, He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't say might be. Didn't say you got to pray your way through. Didn't say you got to give something. He said, if you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what I did? Whenever that preacher took that Bible and sat down with me and showed me how to get saved. You know what I did? Here's what I did. I called on the Lord and I asked Him to forgive me of my sins, come to my heart and save me. Done. You mean that's all you got to do? Done. Hey, here's what I want you to do. Preacher told me he wasn't in no hurry tonight. And I know Brother McBride. You listening? I want you to go to the spot right now in your heart where you got saved. It's a good place. Brother McBride, we was riding down the road one day up in Michigan. We was headed somewhere and I took the wrong road. If you know anything about me, I can't stand to go the wrong way. And I was riding down the interstate and I told Jody, I said, I have got on the wrong interstate. I said, this ain't good. And the Holy Ghost said, you can cut through this road right here and it'll take you right through Owosso, Michigan. And you can show your kids where you got saved and it'll take you right over to that other interstate. I turned down that highway and I said, we're going to go show y'all where Daddy got saved. And I was heading down through there, went through St. John's and got into Owosso. I don't know if you know where that's at, Brother McBride, right there. I'm 32, I think it is. I can't even know it's not 32, it's 50-something. But anyways, I went through there and I turned down there on Delaney Road, pulled into that church, Brother Fleur. I walked up to the church door and I pulled on it and it was locked. And I turned around and I was going to walk away and go back to the car. And the preacher pulled up in his car. I said, preacher, you don't know me. I'm Evangelist Jason Kendrick. My uncle, he's pastor here. I said, I got saved in this church. I want to show my kids where I got saved. He said, preacher, let me unlock it for you. He unlocked the door. I brought my kids in. I brought them down that aisle. I said, that's where your dad comes. Amen, brother. Amen. I know that I'm saved. Can you go to that spot? I said, what are you talking about, preacher? The place where He convicted you that you were lost. And when the Spirit of God spoke to you, oh, it's precious if He talks to you. When He convicted you, you realized you was lost, and you got saved. No conviction, no conversion. You say, well, I've been in church all my life. That ain't going to save you. I was baptized when I was a kid. That ain't going to save you. Mama told me I was saved. That ain't going to save you. Daddy said I was okay. That ain't going to save you. Grandma told me I was all right. That ain't going to save you. I wouldn't die and go to hell on a hope so. I wouldn't die on a hope so. I'd want to know that I'm saved.